Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, is the president of the Galen Institute. She's the editor of an outstanding book on healthcare called Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform. She's the president of the Galen Institute. I think I may have said that. But more importantly, she's our friend. Grace Marie, welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. Pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure. Folks, Grace Marie classes up our show like nobody else on our brain trust. And if you haven't already heard her on the show before, you're going to find that she is a true expert on healthcare public policy issues, and she joins us from time to time to give us an update, and that's what she's doing right now. Grace Marie.
And I hope that doesn't cause people to tune out.
No.
We promise we'll make it interesting.
It will be, folks, I promise you, because this is, you know, Grace Marie, I don't think they will, and even if they were sure if we're going to make it interesting, this is a big deal. I mean, healthcare,
a big deal.
People are realizing at all ages, you know, even those who are healthy and young and robust and think they're going to live forever and never have any health problems, they got parents. You know, they got parents who are either aging or, like my kids do, my kids have aging parents, or they're already elderly. And so they see what a lot of people are going through. They've got friends, they've got family, and everybody is dealing with this healthcare issue. And so this is a hot topic, no question about it. But in Washington, D.C., the hot topic this month is Medicare, isn't it?
That's right. Speaking of dealing with elderly parents, today on Capitol Hill, we are going to be essentially launching the healthcare debate over Medicare in Congress with a briefing that is going to be jointly sponsored by the Galen Institute, the Heritage Foundation, and the American Enterprise Institute, all market-based think tanks. And we have been doing a number of meetings over the last several months with members of Congress to talk about the pitfalls and possibilities of Medicare reform. What do they need to be particularly careful about not doing to make the system worse? And what are the opportunities to begin to move the system in the direction of a consumer-directed, competitive, healthy, market-based system for Medicare? And so we've decided to do a briefing to share that with a larger group of staffers and members. We have some people coming down from New York, from the investment community,
wow,
that are interested in this. We've got the director of the Congressional Budget Office is going to be coming over to sit in, to listen to what we have to say. And really one of the highlights of this briefing today will be release of a statement that I have been facilitating, working for many months with the whole free market health policy community, what we call our consensus group, to develop a statement of principles and recommendations for Congress on Medicare reform. And we have 26 health policy experts signed onto this statement, and it'll be up on our website shortly if people are interested in it at www.galen.org. But this is a statement that talks about the importance of beginning to move the system toward one in which competition and choice are the centerpiece rather than price controls and government regulation. This system that we have now in Medicare is simply not sustainable as it is. And if Congress were to just simply add a drug benefit onto the current program, not only would the drug benefit cause the most vibrant sector of the health economy to begin to falter, the pharmaceutical sector, but it also would begin to pull down the whole Medicare program because it's just not sustainable to put another $1 trillion obligation on this program.
On an already almost bankrupt program.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be really dangerous, really detrimental.
And you know, seniors get that in polls when they say, you know, we want to give you a no-holds barred, you can have every drug and the government will pay 80% of the cost. They hold back because they say, I don't think the government can afford that, and it's going to wind up, they know it's going to wind up in restrictions, mm-hmm. that the government's going to pay less and less for the drugs, the companies are going to develop fewer and fewer new drugs, and the ones that are out there, they're not going to let have the newest and the most effective ones be available, and they're going to throw everybody into generic drugs. And a lot of people know from their own experience, generics just don't work for them. It works for many people on many and many times, and they should certainly be an option.
Grace Marie, let me stop you for a second because we've got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to tell you where this meeting is going to take place. And we're going to talk about what a market-based solution for Medicare would look like. 20 till. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those will get you to our website, to our new look, the new redesign. It's got so much new information there, so much power that I'm really excited about it. So check it out when you get a chance, and I think you'll like it. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email. Grace Marie Turner is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's the president of the Galen Institute, and she's one of the world's top experts on healthcare public policy. And I want to, before we go any further, Grace Marie, I want to tell people about this event that's going on. You just mentioned how the different organizations, the Heritage Foundation, the Galen Institute, the American Enterprise Institute, are coming together to make this statement. And it's going to be today at 2:00.
Actually, it's at noon.
I'm sorry, noon.
Noon on Capitol Hill in the Rayburn House Office Building.
Right.
B339, if anybody's in town and they can come join us. We've got a packed house, and clearly this issue is going to be the one that will dominate the congressional debate during June, just as taxes dominated during May and just as the war dominated during March and April. Medicare is the issue of the month.
And by the way, folks, if... Grace Marie, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it's up here, isn't it? Up here, yeah. If you go to galen.org, galen.org, you can find more information about this venue today that Grace Marie was talking about, including the location and the time and everything. It's all right there on their website. It's the very first thing at the top of their homepage that you can link to. Grace Marie, you and I have spoken many times about the value and importance, the essential fact that our healthcare programs have got to become market-based. They've got to become portable. We've got to change tax policy so that it favors the individual getting the credit, the tax credit for their healthcare, rather than their employers giving the tax credit, so that we can make this portable. And you and I have talked about this a lot, and it makes total sense. It's perfect sense. You know what? You know that you and I are absolute fellow travelers when it comes to this kind of reform. But what you and I have not ever talked about is a market-based solution to Medicare, and that's something I haven't really thought about.
But you know, Jim, the philosophy is exactly the same, whether you're talking about people with employment-based health insurance, the uninsured, Medicare for seniors, Medicaid for the poor. The principles are all the same.
But I'm confused about, though, Grace Marie, is with an individual, with my health care, for example, I mean, I'm paying into an actuarial program that's based on me giving them money. The Medicare is based on, it's an entitlement.
And the way it's currently structured is that it's an entitlement to this incredibly long and complicated list of benefits, every one of which is micromanaged from Washington. And what we think is, you know, if you add up the number of people on Medicare, which is about 41 million, and the amount of money that Medicare spends in a year, which is about $250-260 billion, you wind up with about $6,000 per person. what a great start for a defined contribution, essentially, toward people being able to pick health care, their health plan, from a range of private health plans. Mm-hmm. The model is the Federal Employee Health Benefit Plan. It's exactly how federal workers
get
healthcare.
So there already is precedent for this.
9 million federal workers, retirees, and their dependents are already on a program that looks exactly like the one we think people should have in Medicare, in which a range of private plans are offered, and people decide, do I want to join Kaiser? Do I want to join the Blue Cross plan? Do I want to join the Aetna Fund? Do I want to join Humana? Any number of health plans can be out there, and the difference will be that they will be trying to cater to consumers rather than to human resources departments, or worse, to Washington bureaucrats, satisfy them. They're going to try to make the consumers happy. What a novel thought in our health care system.
But Grace Marie, you got a problem here. One of the problems is that when you deliver that kind of independence but still provide the safety net, you're making voters not be dependent upon politicians. And
they
don't like that.
That is exactly you put your finger exactly on the problem. The whole system would work so much better, be more efficient, if seniors are watchdogs for their own dollars, making sure they're getting the benefits that they're entitled to, rather than having Washington bureaucrats have to spend millions and millions of dollars on federal agents to go out and check on doctors. And, you know, the bad guys still get away with fraud. But they're going after the good guys because they're the easier marks.
But, Grace Marie, I can
Let
see
seniors
it.
Go after them.
I can see it now. I can see the political ads, largely, and I hate to say this, folks, it's largely going to come from the Democrat Party. I can just see the Democrat ads right now. You know, the conservatives want to take your health care away, and they show some little old lady with a tear running down her face. I mean, I can see it right now. They've run them before. They don't even have to do them
exactly.
again. All they got to do is go back into the can and get the ones they've already made.
Which is why every politician says, you like Medicare the way it is? Fine. You don't have to change anything. But Medicare only pays for 53% of seniors' health care costs. A lot of doctors aren't taking new Medicare patients. It doesn't cover a lot of things. If you want a different plan that's more comprehensive and that doesn't leave you exposed to big bills on the other end, you have a choice.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. The problem is my 79-year-old mother and my 80-year-old father explaining it to them. That's the key. When we come back, Grace Marie's going to tell us how to explain it to my parents. Why they need to change. Ten Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 Till. Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, is a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. She is the president of the Galen Institute. That's Galen, GALEN.org. She's the editor of a book called Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform, which you can buy at galen.org if you want the book. But if you're willing to take it in a download and download right onto your computer, Grace Marie, you guys give it away, don't you?
We do. And they can pick and choose also which chapters they're most interested in
right.
as well. My introduction gives a good overview, but there are a lot of specific chapters about how insurance should work, for example, that people might be interested in.
Here's the link. On the front page, folks, the link to the book is right there on the front page, and it says click here to read, so you can read part of it and download part of it. And it's very handy. And Grace Marie, thank you for making that available to people for free.
Thank you for letting them know it's there.
It's a great service. Okay, today, folks, Grace Marie and Robert Moffitt and Joe Antos and a bunch of other folks from some different organizations, the Heritage Foundation, the Galen Institute, the American Enterprise Institute, are going to meet in the Rayburn Building at noon today and in Washington, D.C. to talk about reforming Medicare. Now, Grace Marie, let's say my mother is 79, my father is 80, and they're having their health care challenges right now, no question about it, and it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And so what if they were there, and they stood up in the crowd, which my mother would be likely to do, and say, how can you promise me that we'll have as good a coverage or better than what we've got. I love my Medicare because, you know, it's what I have. They think it's a safety net. They think it's something that they can count on, and they're concerned. At 80 years old, they're not that excited about making changes.
And they don't have to. That's really the genius, I think, of our belief in choice, in that if people like what they have, they shouldn't be able. And politically, it's impossible to force people to change. But as you and I come into Medicare age and retirement age, we're going to not want to have a program that looks like it was designed in the 1960s, because it was. This program, as I said before, it only covers about half of seniors' medical expenses. They are not only exposed to high-end expenses, but Medicare often delays for 4 or 5 years in the newest technologies being available.
Well, now, Grace Marie,
it doesn't cover prescription drugs.
Now, that's the biggie, the prescription drugs. But my parents haven't had to come up with... They've only had to come... My parents have had some significant bills in the last couple of 3 years, and they've only had to come up with a tiny, tiny amount of the overall part.
They have supplementary
coverage. They have a copay.
Sure. Well, they also probably have... Does one of them have coverage, health coverage, with their job that they took into retirement?
Yeah, my dad from the railroad.
Uh-huh. Well, they're picking up all the extra bills.
But if you don't have that...
A lot of people don't have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A senior could be exposed to $30,000, $40,000 a year in bills if they had major hospitalizations, and they didn't have that supplementary mm-hmm. coverage, and a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that if they don't have that kind of supplemental coverage... They might be anxious to hear what you guys have
Absolutely.
To say.
Absolutely. And also, there are any number, as I said, of new procedures and new technologies that are not available to seniors in Medicare, and they just don't even know it. Mm-hmm. They don't even know that some new stent that could be used in an angioplasty to deliver drugs so that the vessel doesn't close back up, they don't know that's available. They don't know what they're not mm-hmm. getting. That's
another
real problem.
Let's don't go too much further though without talking about the drug thing, because my dad gets drugs from VA, which mm-hmm. he earned in World War II, and that's helped them an awful lot. But if it weren't for that, they would be in trouble with medicine.
Right. Three-fourths of seniors already have some coverage for their prescription drugs, whether it's through the VA, through Medicaid, or through retiree coverage, or private coverage they buy themselves. It's crazy to have a health insurance plan where you have to buy three or four other health insurance plans to fill in the gap for mm-hmm. what the insurance doesn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. That's what we want to fix. And the worst thing, and the thing that your parents may experience, people who want to retire and move to someplace new are afraid to do it because they don't think they'll be able to get a new doctor mm-hmm. to take a new Medicare patient. Doctors are being paid so little now for Medicare
mm-hmm.
that they're saying no new patients. So it's really compromising seniors' ability to be able to see the doctors and increasingly the specialists
Grace Marie, they need. Grace Marie, I've got
to
stop because this is very interesting, but we've run out of time. Thank you for the part that you're playing in bringing this debate to the fore.
Well, thank you so much for the chance to talk with you and your listeners.
Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, we could not do without her. She's the best. Galen.org. Check it out when you get a chance. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.